Jesus Christ up until you reach that age of accountability. And what that's talking about here is that there comes a time, and I don't know exactly what age that is. I don't know. I've heard of some people say that when they was 5 years old, they realized they was lost, and they sought God, and they was saved. I've heard some people say that they was 6 years old. I've heard some people say 7 and 8. Some people say they was 12. Whatever the case may be, they realized that they was lost and separated before an almighty God. The fact of the matter is, doesn't pertain to them about the sin. See, David told us over there in Psalms in 51, and I want to read that for a moment. He said in Psalms in 51 in verse 5, he said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." I want you to know something tonight. That you are a sinner. I want you to understand tonight that because of the Adam, our first father there, that we find that he was in the garden with God, and that he walked in the coolness of day, and we know there that it was pleasant there, and that God had given him one commandment that he might follow. And the Bible teaches us there that he was to eat of all the trees there in the garden, the Bible says. But of one tree he wasn't to eat of. And God, he gave him that one commandment. And he said, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he said, thou shalt not eat of it, or at least thou shalt surely die. And we know that Eve, being deceived, that Satan came in as that serpent that he was. And the Bible says that he beguiled her, deceived her, and she did eat and she did give to her husband. And because of that sin fell upon all mankind. Now I want you to know something tonight. David would go on and he would describe there about having a little baby. He had had adultery in his life, messed up and was there with Bathsheba, the Bible says, and they'd had this little baby. And this little baby died. And David said, I can't bring him back, but I can go to him someday. And what he meant in that was, is that little baby was covered by the blood of Christ. Because he hadn't yet reached the age of accountability. Now tonight I want you to know that you, maybe not tonight, maybe not tomorrow, I don't know when it'll be, but you will be accountable for your sin. I don't know when that is. I don't know what age that'll be, but you will be accountable. So tonight I want to get into our subject here in the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis. Very familiar scripture tonight, and I wanted to address that for just a moment. The age of accountability. Now I'll say this, that if you know that you're lost tonight, if you know that you've realized that you're a sinner in the eyes of God and you see yourself for what you are, you're not going to be any more lost than you already are. You're just as lost as you're ever going to be. And now, today, right now, is the time to seek God. The 27th chapter of Genesis. As we look back here and we can see previous couple chapters that we are introduced to Jacob and Esau and how that they were born there to Isaac and Rebekah. And we know there that God had instructed Rebekah that the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And no doubt God had instructed her of this. And it goes on to say there that even within that Esau had been out, and he had become hungered. and he went there to Jacob, and Jacob offered him some soup, if you would, some pottage, as the Bible says, and he was willing to forfeit his birthright, the Bible says, and it says even in that moment that he despised his birthright. And I'm talking about a sense of something spiritual there that it just didn't mean that much to him in that moment. He was willing to sell it, to forfeit it for a bowl of soup. No doubt God had instructed Rebekah about what was to take place. I want to get into her reading lesson tonight in the 27th chapter. He says there, and it came to pass in the first verse, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here I am. And he said, Behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons and thy quiver and thy bow, and go out into the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat which I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it to. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said unto Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. And my father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem as to him as a deceiver, and thou shalt bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go and fetch them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her son, younger son. And she put the skins of the kid's goats upon his hands and upon his smooth neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. I want to stop there for just a moment. And I'll go back here if the Lord will help us. I want to point out here in the 12th verse, he says that my brother preadventure shall feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. I want you to know tonight that the Bible in different places refers to different types of deceiving and deceivers. And tonight I want you to understand, I want to try to point out just a few of them, if the Lord will help us. We have here no doubt that God had told Rebekah that at this time that the younger should rule over the elder. No doubt Rebekah should have looked to the promise of God and should have talked about these things, no doubt, with Isaac, and went about it in a way that would have been pleasing to God, in such a way that God would have seen fit to still bring honor and glory into this situation. But no doubt she went about it in a deceiving manner, went about it in a way that didn't honor God, and no doubt went away in a way that she thought that she might be able to achieve what it was she wanted to achieve in the best way that she knew how to do it. Now, I'll say this here, that as Isaac began to send out Esau, and I can relate to Esau in quite a ways, if you will. But Isaac began to send Esau out, and he told him, he said, Now my eyes have become dim in old age. He said, Go out and give me some of that venison, and come in and prepare me some of that savory meat, that you might be blessed. Now, as Rebekah overheard this conversation, she said, Jacob, now is the time that we devise this plan.
We need to set in motion a plan that you'll be able to take this birthright just as the Lord had instructed me that you might be able to do. Now, I want you to understand something tonight. I don't know for sure. You may have been under the gospel, under the preaching for many years. I'll tell you, last night I believe I heard one of the best messages I've heard in a long time. Bless his heart. There is no excuse for you if you're here and lost tonight. I want you to understand something, that if you are here and lost, my friend, there is no excuse for you. Now, you may have been coming to the Lord's house a long time. You may have sat back and devised a plan. Well, I tell you, if I can just make it through this service, if I can just come across this in a way, and I'll tell you what, if Mom and Daddy begins to ask me this question, or the preacher begins to ask me this question, I've got a plan. I've got an idea about what I'm going to tell them. My friend, I want you to understand something. God knows all about you. He knows everything about you. He knows tonight if you've reached the age of accountability. He knows tonight if you're here and lost. He knows tonight if you're here and saved. And my friend, I'll tell you, if you really want to know, and you really want to get down to where the rubber meets the road, tonight is the night to get concerned and to start asking God to reveal it to you. Now, no doubt, here was Rebecca. She devised this plan. She said, Jacob, she said, if you go out there and get these two goats and bring them in, she said, I'll prepare this savory meat for your father Isaac. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about venison for your deer hunters. You go out and you shoot a deer. A lot of folks don't like to eat wild game. It's got a gamey taste to it. They don't care much for the kind of meat. They prefer to eat beef or pork. So a lot of times in my household, if we get to cooking a lot of deer meat, I've got to throw the spices to it. I got to dress it up so that my kids will eat it. My wife will eat it. I got to tend to it a little bit. Well, this is what Rebecca started to do. She started to throw the spices to it. She wanted to deceive Isaac. His eyes was dim. Well, he couldn't see what the meat looked like. All he could do was taste it. He said, Jacob said unto Rebekah, his mother, he said, behold, Esau, my brother, is hairy man. He said, I am a smooth man. I want you to understand something. Even Jacob in this moment noticed that there was a difference. He said, how is my father not going to realize who I am? He said, Esau, no doubt's a hunter. He said, here I am. I'm a smooth man. He said, Esau's a hairy man. How is it that we're going to deceive him? She said, well, you just bring that goat in here. She said, I'll cook him up. I'll add the spices to it. She said, beyond that, she said, we'll go in there and we'll gather up his raiment. She said, we'll clothe you in all of his clothing. Not only will you be dressed like him, but you'll smell like him too. She looked over there at him. She said, after we take these kid goats, and she said, we prepare the meal for your father. She said, we'll look over there, and she will apply that hair to your arms and to the back of your neck. Well, I'll tell you, Jacob, he was a little bit concerned about that. He said, my father will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. I want you to know tonight, lost person, it ain't my intention, it ain't Brother Brad's intention to embarrass you. It's not this church's intention to embarrass you. There ain't nothing shameful tonight about seeking God. The shame in it would be leaving here and not seeking God. Do something about it while you got the chance to. He sit here and he said, I'm concerned that my daddy's going to find out that I'm a deceiver. Listen to me tonight. I want you to understand something here. You might be able to deceive me. You might be able to deceive your mom and daddy. You might be able to tell me, hey, I'm all right. There ain't a thing wrong with me. You can tell grandmama and granddaddy, hey, there ain't nothing wrong with me. But honey, God knows tonight if something's wrong with you. God knows. God knows everything. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows your deepest thoughts. He knows what you're sitting there thinking right now. He knows you. You say, well, preacher, it's been working long enough. I've been telling you ain't nothing wrong with me. I've been sitting here all along. I've been getting up after church and after preaching and going to the bathroom. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. I'm a deceiver. He said he'll know. Listen to me. Tonight I want you to understand something. As much as Brother Brad said it, boy, I believe it too. When God comes knocking on your heart and Jesus is saying, come to me and I'll give you rest. I'm here and I'm willing to save you. Come to me, and you sit there and you resist and you resist and you resist, and you're looking into yourself, and there it is, the devil. He's sitting right there with you, and he's telling you, because I want you to know he's as much as a deceiver as anybody ever was. The Bible says he's a liar and the father of it. He's a liar and the father of it. Listen, he said, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Lost friend, you'll deceive and deceive and deceive, but finally that deceiving has to run out. You have to become honest with yourself. You've got to examine yourself. See, that's the thing. I'm not afraid to go back. A sister stood up earlier and said, I can tell you 31 years ago, I know the Lord saved me. I'm not afraid to go back and examine what God done for me. I ain't afraid. I don't stand before you boasting about anything I done. Because it ain't nothing that I done, but it's about what God done for me. Listen to what his mother said. His mother said unto him, unto me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go and fetch them. I can tell you a little bit about what it is to be deceived. When I was a boy and growing up, y'all have heard me say that my father died when I was a young boy. And there was a lot of people that had good intentions with us children. There was four of us. They had good intentions. They wanted to see that we'd get to church. Used to be a van that would run by the house over there, and we'd go out and we'd get in that van and they'd take us down the road to this church. One of the men that used to work with my dad was kind of over that thing. Well, he got me back there in a room by myself, and he got me to talking about my dad dying, and didn't I want to go to heaven and be with him? Well, I wasn't but 5 years old. Well, what 5-year old little boy don't want to go to heaven and be with his dad? Well, I said, yeah. And he said, well, I don't even remember what exactly he said. He said, here, pray, do this and that. after it was over, "Don't you feel better?" "Well, I guess I felt all right. I didn't know how I was supposed to feel. What I did know was this. I knew that being saved was a good thing. I knew enough, just enough." I remember that night I got home and I called my grandmother on the phone. I said, "Ma," I said, "the Lord saved me." She said, "Well, tell me what happened." Well, I couldn't tell her what I did. She said, "Oh." That's all she said. Was "oh." I thought this is supposed to be a big thing. 4 years later, I'm sitting at Rocky Mound one night. The preacher's preaching. I don't remember what he's preaching, but he's preaching, and it comes to me like nothing I've ever felt before. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, one minute I'm fine, and the next minute I know that something is wrong inside of me. Nobody had to tell me. Nobody had to show me. Nobody had to pick my hand up and drag me somewhere. But honey, God let me know that something wasn't right. God let me know that something wasn't right. There was something in here that wouldn't write. There was something. And see, I'll tell you what happened. God got a hold of me. Now, maybe we'll get on into that story here in a minute. I don't feel the need to at this moment. He looked over at her. She looked over at him and said, "Rebecca," she said, "upon me be thy curse. My son, only obey my voice and go and fetch me." I want you to know something tonight. Satan will devise every plan that he can to keep you from being saved. You know that. Satan doesn't want you to be saved. Not only that, he'll allow you, if you're not careful, to trust upon yourself. I don't know how many times I've went up to sinners and God has led me to go talk to maybe one or two. Let me make this statement very clear. If God puts it on your heart to go talk to somebody, you go talk to them. But if you don't, you best just keep your seat. That's how I feel about the matter. The problem is, man and his sin wants to trust in himself. Hey, I can take care of this myself. I can do it. Well, preacher, I don't even feel like I've ever sinned that much. I've been pretty good. You know who else felt like he'd been pretty good? Young man by the name of the rich young ruler. He looked over there and he said, "Good master." The Lord said, "Why callest me thou good?" He said, "All thy commandments from thy youth." He said, "I've obeyed them." And you know, I'll just be honest with you. I felt like he probably was a pretty good young man in his eyes. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. The Bible says that we're all as filthy rags. Ain't none of us any count. That's what he's saying. So here he was, this rich young ruler. He said, "What must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus looked over at him and he said, "Go sellest everything thou hast and give it to the poor." And he said, "Follow me." You know what the Bible says? It says that he went away sorrowful because great was his possession. Nowhere in the scripture can I find that he ever got things worked out. As far as I know, he's burning in the devil's hell tonight. I want you to know that there's probably, more than probably, there's good moral people, and I mean moral, they're good people. I'm talking, listen, we got to talk my kind of lingo. I'm talking about good country people that give you the shirt off their back, as we say. You know what I mean? Good people. Being good don't get you to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not by works. You can't be good enough. You can't live a good enough life. It ain't going to get you there. Listen to me, if you're here and lost tonight, I don't mean to discourage nobody. I don't mean to make nobody mad. Honey, I don't mean to do none of that. But I'm telling you, it don't matter how much you read your Bible. It don't matter how much you sing. It don't matter how much you come to Wednesday night. And listen, honey, unless you trust God, you're going to hell. Unless you place your trust and confidence in the Lord and you die in your sins and trespasses, hell is where you'll go. It ain't about, preacher, I've been good. That ain't what it's about. It ain't about works. Listen to what he says over here in Jeremiah. He says in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, in the 9th verse, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He said, I, the Lord, searcheth the heart, and I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on the eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. He said his heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart. Trusting in yourself. Trusting in whatever it is that you hear. Preacher, I'm fine. How many times we've gone up to lost people and talked to them and them said, preacher, I'm okay. If you was to die tonight, do you know where you'd go? I'm okay, preacher. Let me tell you something. If you're lost and separated from God, you're as far from okay as you'll be. You're not okay. I've heard them say, I've heard them sit there and talk to me. Tears running down their cheeks. Streaming down their cheeks. I don't believe crying will save you. But I'll say this. You've got to see yourself for what you are. And that's a sinner in the eyes of God. To me, it don't matter how many tears you shed, how much snot you sling. That ain't what it's about. It's about this right here. This right here is what it's about. I've seen sinners go to the altar. I've got an uncle. Excuse me, Jessica's got an uncle that went to the altar for over 30 years. Over 30 years went to the altar. He's a very smart, intelligent man. Ain't a thing in the world wrong with that. I'm thankful for people like that. They're a help to me. But I tell you what he got down to. He got down to a place that he was overthinking. Come to find out, the Lord had saved him 30 years before that. He just got to overthinking it. He's expecting more than what it was. See, when it all boiled down to it, it was just peace. That's what it was. He thought, surely I'll see some kind of light. Surely I'll feel this something great will happen. You know, when he finally went back and he was satisfied finally with what God gave him, you know what he come down to? He said it was just peace. Just peace. See, that's the way it is for me. Peace. That's what salvation is peace with God. Don't overthink it. Don't be looking for something. Just be looking for Jesus. He said, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Listen to me tonight, lost friend. You may be here just like Jacob tonight. Maybe you've devised a plan. Maybe you've thought in yourself, boy, there ain't no way I'm going to that altar. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to sit around here. I'm not going to be made fun of. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Listen to me. Just as that sister said earlier, you're going to have to be willing. You've got to be willing to do whatever it is tonight. But most importantly, you've got to be willing to repent and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what he's commanded you to do. Repent and believe. You don't have to come to this altar, though it's a good place, but you've got to be willing to make an altar in your heart. Now listen to me. He said, the Lord searcheth the heart and try the reins. It means he knows the mind. Not only does he know you, he knows everything about you. You might be able to devise some kind of plan that might get you by for a little while. But just as Brother Brad said last night, you're going to have to deal with this Jesus at some point. Whether you deal with him here or you deal with him in the judgment, you're going to have to deal with him. Now listen. It said, and he came unto his father and said, my father, and he said, here I am. Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God had brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. No doubt he sit here and he just out flat just lied. Isaac asked him, he said, how did you get it so quickly? He said, the Lord brought it to me. He said, come near that I may feel thee. He said, to see if thou be my very son. Listen to me. Search your heart tonight. God knows where you stand. He knows. He knows tonight everything about you. He knows if your name's on the church book and you've never been saved, you say, preacher, you ought not say that. Listen to me. I'd rather you get it worked out than for you had to burn in the devil's hell for eternity. It's important that you know where you stand. It's important that you understand that you're not covered under the age of accountability forever. It's not up for me to decide what age that is. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and try to argue with you tonight. I've heard some people say, well, it's this age or that age. I don't know. But what I tell you is when God starts knocking on your heart and he lets you know that you're lost and separated, that's your age of accountability. That's when you become accountable for your sins. Isaac said, come near, let me feel you. He knows you tonight. Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice of Jacob's voice. He said, the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine and drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him and smelled him the smell of his raiment, and smelled him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God, give me thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of earth and the plenty of corn and wine, and let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee and be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And I want to stop there for just a moment. No doubt he'd come in here to his father, presented him with his savory meat he did eat. He reached down and he began to feel him. He said, well, he feels like him. He said, I don't recognize his voice. I want you to know tonight that Jesus says that we know him and he knows us. He knows everything about you tonight. He knows his sheep. And if you're not one of his sheep, he knows that too. You might be able to lie to me, to your parents, but I'll tell you this, you can't lie to God. You can't lie to God. It's not up for me to decide tonight whether you're lost or separated from God. That's between you and the Lord. And I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that you are. But what I do understand is this, that God knows. Maybe you're confused. Maybe there's a deceiver that's in your ear. Maybe he's been telling you things for a long, long time. Listen to me tonight. You can finally get all that worked out. He looked over there at him, and he smelt him. He said, surely this is him. Isaac's eyes were dim because he was old in age. God's eyes ain't dim at all. He sees it all. Brother Strode, if you'll be getting us a song ready. He sees it all. He knows your heart. He knows tonight if you've been saved. He knows tonight if you're lost. He knows everything about you. You might be trying to cover it up the best way that you know how. And that may work for just a little while. But what happens when you've tried to cover it up? What happens when you decide that you're going to try to avoid Jesus as long as you can? You think to yourself, well, I just want to get home and get away off by myself somewheres. Listen, you pray every time you get an opportunity. But most importantly, pray when God is drawing you. When he's drawing you, that's the time to come and to seek Jesus. I don't know tonight whether he's drawing anybody. I don't know anybody's heart here tonight. I tell you what I know. I know what God has done for me. I know that he saved my soul. I don't have anything to hide. I know that I'm a wretched sinner. I know there ain't nothing good about me except for what God has done for me. And God has been good to me. But I want you to know what it feels like to have peace in your heart. I want you to know what it is to finally surrender and say, preacher, I'm going to come to the altar. Preacher, I'm going to get down back here and pray. And church, when that finally comes, do you know what time it is? It's time for us to gather around sinners and pray with them. You know something? We can't save them. But it comes a time that we're supposed to build a wall of prayer around them. That's our message tonight. Won't you come? Don't deceive yourself. Don't allow Satan to deceive you tonight. Seek God while he may be found. Brother Strobe, go ahead.
380. 380.